Many eyes are currently focused on national monuments. The Interior Secretary recently visited our region to take a tour of the Cascade-Siskiyou National Monument. It was created under a Democratic president and recently expanded under another Democratic president. The current Republican president ordered a review of all the national monuments created or expanded in the last couple of decades. That's why the Interior Secretary visited and why a guy named Brent Rose took a whirlwind tour of monuments. His goal was to visit all 22 of the land-based monuments under review before the deadline for public comment arrived, back on July 10th. Brent Rose has had a chance to catch his breath, we assume, after filing quick reports on each monument, including this one on the Cascade-Siskiyou.
27 Monument Stop number 14. This is Cascade-Siskiyou, or should I say Catscade-Siskiyou? I should not. It's our only national monument that was set aside specifically for the preservation of biodiversity. This place has over 200 species of birds, including the endangered great gray owl. It's also home to amphibians that don't live anywhere else, and there are fields upon fields of wildflowers. Its diversity in biology is owing to its unique geology and geography. Say that five times fast. The monument is where the Cascade Mountains to the east and the Klamath Mountains toward the west are bridged together by the Siskiyou Mountains. This brings flora and fauna together from each of those, as well as up from the west coast and from the Great Basin. It's a popular destination for hunting, for camping, and you want to talk about good hiking? The legendary Pacific Crest Trail runs right through the middle of this place. It also has a rare and impressive volcanic plug called Pilot Rock, which is similar to Devil's Tower in Wyoming. If you believe this incredible place should be protected, go to 27monuments.org. to learn what you can do and use these hashtags to help spread the word. Thank you.
That is Brent Rose, filmmaker, actor, journalist, and our guest here on the Jefferson Exchange. Brent, thanks for joining us today.
Thank you so much for having me. I appreciate it.
So you're a busy fella. I was just reading about van life yesterday morning, and here you are living it. What got your overall journey outside of the confines of a traditional home started?
Well, it was kind of the classic story. It was a big breakup, and I was sad and trying to figure out what I wanted to do with the next phase of my life, and I didn't really want to commit to one specific place. And I was like, if only there was some way I could kind of live everywhere and work from where I was. And I was already a freelance journalist at the time, so I started asking around about who had vans and what they were going for and how I could soup one up. And about 8 months later, I had my own van, and I hit the road for this project I started calling Connected States. And that was just over 2 years ago now. So it's been quite a ride.
So is Connected State still an ongoing thing, or is that finished? I mean, did 27 Monuments arrive in the middle of that, or after it was over?
Yeah, Connected States is kind of what I'm calling the overall just road trip in general. So that's kind of the ongoing journey. And 27 Monuments was a project that popped up within the middle of it. And I mean, once 27 Monuments started, that was all I could really do for a month or so. It was just, a tremendous amount of work. But it fits within the Connected States umbrella, I would say.
How much attention had you paid to national monuments before the 27 Monuments project came along, Brent?
I'll be honest, not a whole lot. I've always been a big a hiker and camper and stuff like that, and so I've always loved wilderness areas and BLM areas. So I was familiar with some of those, but I hadn't been to any of these 27 monuments beforehand. I was basically just looking for a way to make this road trip about something more than just myself. And I wanted to find a way to give back. And, we had just pulled out of the Paris Agreement, or announced we were going to pull out of the Paris Agreement. Trying to think of something I could do that would help the planet, and I was like, didn't I hear something about monuments? And I was just driving down the road in Nevada at the time, and I pulled over and Googled it, and there was. And suddenly I realized we're right in the middle of a comment period, and there's only a month left, and it wasn't on my radar. And I asked some other friends, and it wasn't on their radar either. I'm like, man, I gotta see if I can do something about this. And I asked a friend of mine who works for a data and mapping company. I said, look, I fed you these 22 data points. Could you find the mathematically most efficient route between them? And he had me a map within a few hours. And so I was like, great, I guess this is what I'm doing for the next month of my life.
So that's just an incredible amount of drive. We're talking 22 monuments you were trying to hit, because those are the land-based ones of the 27 monuments in the reference. But that's a lot of driving over the course of, 31 days?
It was crazy. It actually ended up being, so I only drove to 21 of them and then flew to the last one, which was in Maine, because the first 21 are all in the western half of the U.S., and then there's one way out in Maine. So I drove to the first 21, and it ended up being 6,500 miles in just about 21 days. And that's, you know, with editing, shooting and editing video along the way. So I was sleeping, you know, between 2 and 5 hours a night pretty much the whole time. So I was a real zombie by the end of it. But yeah, it was a significant amount of driving, and I had a lot of pieces literally fall off my van, so I've got some repair work to do.
Okay. Brent Rose is our guest on the Jefferson Exchange, filmmaker, actor, journalist, as you heard, visited the 22 land-based national monuments up for review under President Trump's ordered review of all monuments created or expanded since January 1st, 1996. You can join our conversation on the Exchange at 800-838-3760 by phone, by email, jx@jeffnet.org. I understand you hadn't even left your starting point when you got news that Bears Ears was recommended for scaling back.
That's right. Yeah, and that was just such a blow. I mean, it's been very clear from the get-go that that's one of their primary targets. You know, this is one they want. This is one that, you know, Utah Republicans specifically, or Republican Congress there specifically want undone. You know, even though the process to make Bears Ears was a very open, very public process that took years and thousands of people, and there were tons of room. There's tons of room along the way for people to comment and, you know, weigh in. And, you know, it took an unprecedented coalition of five different Native American nations coming together and working together on this. And then Secretary Zinke goes to the area to really hear it from both sides, you know. And he spends 4 days with the opposition, the oil and gas companies, the Republican officials there, and then spends 1 hour with the tribal coalition who spent, you know, years of their lives working on this. And then, not surprisingly, recommended it be shrunk and reduced so that it can be drilled. And this is a very real threat. This is not, you know, some abstract thing. Like, oil and gas companies have already outright stated very explicitly that they're interested in exploratory drilling there.
So, Brent, how much of it sounds like you had to have a real crash course, if you'll pardon the expression, because I know you were driving when you were tired. But
yeah.
But I mean, you really had to get to know some of the basic facts and sentiments about each monument in a hurry to be able to reflect it accurately, even in a 1 minute video.
Yeah, that was a real challenge. So right before I set off, I went on Facebook and I said, "Hey, friends, listen, I'm about to embark on this project. And I could use some help along the way. Does anybody have a few hours to dedicate to research?" And I had about 12 different friends respond. And so I assigned each of them two different monuments. And so, you know, and I had a sheet that I made. I just gave it to them blank and said, "Okay, can you fill these questions in?" And it had to do with, you know, when it was established and acreage and highlights and historical impact and the threats if it loses its monument designation. So that gave me a starting pad. Or a launch pad, basically. And then from there, while I was driving in, I would, you know, find a way to pull over, stop, and do further research and dig into the things that that jumped out at me and interested me most. And I really wanted to try to, you know, make sure I was doing the same thing every time at each monument. I was concerned about that it would get repetitive. It really wasn't, I don't think, because each of these monuments really are very unique, and they were each designated for their own specific reasons. So I found that it was that task was easier, but yeah, the little bit of research along the way really helped a lot.
So knowing at least some facts and some character of the place before you got there, I mean, was it still something of a revelation to get on the ground and see some of the features of the monuments?
Yeah, every single time. Honestly, so I, like I said, I was incredibly sleep deprived throughout the entire month, and you know, I was really kind of in zombie mode for most of it. And, you know, I'm getting from one spot to another. And then finally I get on the ground in one of these monuments, and it was way better than the strongest cup of coffee I've ever had. I mean, I would get out there and open my eyes, and, you know, these places are just breathtaking. And they each have something unique going on and something I've never seen before. So it didn't matter how tired I was, you know, seeing these beautiful places, you know, that are rich in history and biological diversity, all kinds of really interesting terrain. So when I was actually at the places, it was the most alive I felt throughout the month. And then I would be, you know, back in the van and editing and shooting, you know, getting on to the next place and back on autopilot.
Given that schedule, did you have any chance to really talk to people on the ground? Did you talk to, for example, the people who actually supported scaling back or who didn't support the monuments in the first place?
You know, I did my best to talk to people, but as you said, it was pretty much a pretty quick affair for each of these hits. So I didn't get to talk to everybody in every place. I did talk to some people, specifically in New Mexico and some in Arizona too. And you know, these people really ran the gamut on the political spectrum. You know, I spoke to both Democrats and Republicans, and everybody I spoke to was actually very much in favor of keeping the monuments as they are. Which really, like, you know, to me, this is not a partisan issue. It's sort of become that way because obviously the Trump administration is championing reducing these monuments so they can, you know, sell them off for development. But the fact is that, you know, 16 different presidents have created U.S. monuments, and 8 of them were Republican and 8 of them were Democrat. And these are lands that are for everybody. These are public lands, and almost all of them are open for hunting and fishing, camping and hiking and all kinds of outdoor recreation activities that, you know, a lot of my Republican friends are frankly more into than a lot of my Democrat friends are. You know, it's not a hard and fast rule, but, you know, so the idea that I keep hearing the term tossed around that these are just a land grab. These are a federal land grab. And that's never made any sense to me because I don't see how the federal government benefits from owning these lands. You know, they don't charge much or if anything for camping or for using them. They're kind of just there for us, the people, to use. In contrast, the idea of selling them off in parcels to oil and gas companies and mining companies and logging companies, that to me seems like the federal government trying to line their pockets. So yeah, it's, you know, there's a lot of rhetoric out there, but from the people on the ground, most people seem to be really in favor of these places, including, you know, a lot of these monuments bring in a lot of money to the local communities. And in Las Cruces, New Mexico, which is right near Oregon Mountains, Desert Peaks, and it's been bringing in more and more money every single year as word gets out about all the recreation there, mountain biking, the rock climbing. So it was like it brought in $9 million in 2014 and then $19 million in 2015. It's only gone up from there.
Well, Brent Rose is our guest on the Jefferson Exchange, filmmaker, actor, journalist, and whirlwind tourist of national monuments. He visited 22 national monuments in a very short amount of time as it came up to the point of the end of the comment period on the review of national monuments ordered by President Trump. You can join us on the Jefferson Exchange at 800-838-3760 by phone, by email, jx@jeffnet.org. So, Brent, how much time in each place? For example, how much time did you spend at the Cascade Siskiyou?
Well, I really loved Cascade Siskiyou, just to put that out there. We still only got to spend about half a day. And I say we, because at that point, my dad had actually joined me to help do some of the diving, because he would veer off the road and stuff. Cascade Siskiyou, I think we got about, probably about 6 or 7 hours there. You know, which isn't a whole lot when you consider how large these places are and how vast they are and the wealth of activities you can enjoy there. So I really would kind of go in with a couple highlights that I'd want to hit. And ideally I'd talk to somebody who lives there or a ranger and get recommendations. So I'm seeing, you know, the stuff in the shortest amount of time possible. But yeah, that was a special one, especially because I'd, you know, just spent a lot of time in very deserty kind of places. Mm-hmm. And to finally be up in the mountains and seeing a totally different type of trees and foliage and wildlife was really a breath of fresh air for me.
Let us take a call. We have Grumpy John in Grants Pass on the line. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange with Brent Roses from 27 Monuments.
Thank you. I would like you folks to tell me whether or not the state of Oregon could get smart and impose a $1 a gallon tax on every gallon of fracked product shipped out of the state of Oregon.
To do what?
Because if you had to pay $1 a gallon for every gallon of fracked oil leaving the state of Oregon, you probably wouldn't want to go to the expense of setting up a refinery in Oregon because you have pipelines to send that toxic sludge offshore. But if you were taxed a dollar a gallon for removing it from Oregon, guess what? They're not going to frack the monument.
All right, let me see if I can bring this back to the monument thing more directly. Thanks for that, Grumpy John. So, Brent, I mean, of the desires to extract some petroleum riches from these monuments, is fracking part of the process?
Yeah, it very well could be. You know, these are, you know, I'm not entirely on which ones are specifically in danger of fracking, but, you know, a lot of the monuments, especially the ones in the Southwest, are very much in danger of being drilled for oil. I mean, there's all kinds of people, oil companies who are really looking to do some exploratory drilling. Like I said, especially in Bears Ears, Grand Staircase Escalante was another big one, which is also in Utah. So I don't know specifically which of those would be fracked, but the possibility certainly exists. I mean, that's a method that the oil and gas companies are generally fairly fond of using when they're not turning up profits in other ways.
Brent, have you had a chance to catch your breath? I mean, it's been about 2 weeks plus since the comment period closed, and that was the goal, was to get this done by the comment period. Did you get to the place in Maine by July 10th, and what have you been doing since July 10th?
Yeah, I did. So I managed to get to Katahdin Woods and Waters, which is my last stop, and which incidentally is absolutely stunning. I got there, I think, on July 6th, so that gave me 4 days to finish editing the remaining videos that I had left, which were about eight or nine of them. So I hopped a flight to New York, which is where I once lived, and sort of locked myself into an apartment and didn't come out for 4 days and just edited video, uploaded them as I finished them. But it's actually interesting. So the July 10th comment period ended, which is for, you know, the land-based monuments and included some of the marine monuments. But it's actually fortuitous that we're talking today, because today is the last day of the comment period for our marine national monuments and marine national sanctuaries.
Which includes, for example, the World War II Valor and the Pacific National Monument, which comes into the Tule Lake portion of our region.
Oh, I didn't realize that, but it's, you know, these places are incredible. And it also includes Monterey Bay in San Francisco, the Channel Islands, the Farallon Islands outside San Francisco, Thunder Bay in Michigan. There's some spots off the coast of Hawaii. It also includes the Marianas Trench, which is the deepest place on the entire planet. And we've explored the surface of the moon more than we've explored the Marianas Trench, and yet these people would like to open it up for exploratory oil and gas drilling. You know, every time we dive there, we discover new species we've never seen anywhere else. And yet, the idea of turning it into a for-profit place instead of a, you know, kind of sacred sanctuary is on the forefront of a lot of people's minds. So today is the very last day that you can send in a comment on that, and I hope people listening will do that. You can find the link directly to that Department of the Interior comment page at 27monuments.org. That's you can go to the Take Action page. It'll take you directly to the Department of Interior page and leave you. It takes you 3 minutes to leave a comment. I hope people will do that and spread the word, because we've only got till midnight Eastern time tonight to leave comments for those.
Brent Rose, was there any evidence that your effort paid off in the sense of it engendered more comments? I mean, did comments pick up because of what you were doing, or at least come through that portal because of what you were doing?
You know, I hope so. You know, I was able to look at, you know, the website reviews, and, you know, we got, you know, 10 or so thousand people in just through my website, but, you know, it generated more media coverage and stuff like that as well. And so, and a lot of those media companies were linking it directly to the Department of the Interior page. And I was working with a lot of other great nonprofits by the end there, including monumentsforall.org and Center for American Progress. And the Pew Trust was involved as well. These are, you know, a lot of people who are just, you know, going pedal to the metal trying to preserve these places and just get the word out, because, you know, it's hard. There's so much stuff going on right now with in our country. You know, right now, you know, early today, our president said, you know, he wants to ban transgender persons from being in our military, and we're worried about our healthcare system, you know, being dissolved in the Senate right now. So there's all kinds of things very worthy of our attention and our energy. But the thing with these monuments are, you know, once they're destroyed, they can't be undestroyed. These are places that have remained unchanged in most cases for, you know, thousands and thousands of years. And once wilderness is damaged like that, it doesn't ever just kind of go back to the, what once was. Whereas with these social issues, which I believe are more important, don't get me wrong, at least hopefully we'll have cooler heads and smarter people in charge or policies down the road who can undo some of those processes. But again, these monuments, once they're developed, they can't be undeveloped.
Brent Rose, as you were taking your tour, Secretary Zinke was examining some of these monuments firsthand himself. He visited the Cascade Siskiyou 10 days ago. I wonder, did your paths ever cross, or did you guys ever come in close proximity anyway?
We never did. I always wondered about that, but no, I never crossed paths with Secretary Zinke, and I always wondered what I would say to him if I did encounter him. But yeah, he's been visiting a few of them, and he has declared a few of them already that will not be touched. So one was Craters of the Moon in Idaho, which is a really cool one. Hanford Reach, mm-hmm. which is in Washington, will also not be touched. And there was a third one, Canyon of the Ancients in southern Colorado. So he said those are fine, they don't need to be evaluated, and it seems like they're really, you know, leaning on the PR element of that, say, like, look, see, we're listening, we're evaluating each of these on a case by case basis, but it seems to suggest to me that he's going to use that later on when he starts recommending drilling at other ones.
All right, we're talking 6,500 miles that Brent Rose covered over the course of hitting all 22 land based national monuments up for review by the federal government, and he did manage to get that done by the deadline he set for himself, which was the end of the comment period on July 10th. The comment period for the marine-based monuments is midnight Eastern time tonight, as you heard from Brent, so chance to still comment on those. Brent Rose, filmmaker, actor, journalist, we appreciate the effort you put in, and thanks for joining us today on The Exchange.
Thanks so much for having me.
All right, take care.